Look at somebody you didn't come with and tell them, God has something special for you today. You may go ahead and be seated. I want to remind you what year this is. This is the year of harvest. The year of laying hold of crops that have never been harvested, inheritance that have never been released, blessings that have never overtaken you. I was a little disappointed that there wasn't a praise report today from somebody who is possessing their back wages, back blessings, things they were denied and told they couldn't have. But in this year of blessing, they're laying hold of them. Get busy, church. I need your praise reports of how God has abundantly injected himself into the course of your life and broken the cycle of lack. Thank you for those few feeble attempts at agreement. But I get excited seeing people get raises they were told they couldn't get, laying hold of bonuses they were told they had been denied, retirement that companies told them, you're not getting your retirement, and then God would show them a way and they'd get their retirement. They'd get blessings that had, for a couple of reports we've got, as much as 20 years they had laid it aside, and this year they're harvesting. Now imagine you've got a blessing that's belonged to you for 20 years and you couldn't access it, and then all of a sudden, you see, all you need is an idea from God. You're just one idea away from reaping a harvest. I like reaping harvests. I like experiencing God's goodness and grace. But you've got to have an attitude. I walked in this morning and Brother Steve said, for the first week in a long time, we're starting out in the red. I said, what? He said, we're behind. But he didn't leave it there. He said, but it'll be made up today. You see, that's how you've got to be. There's got to be a big butt in your life. Now, I know some people have been running from a big butt, but some of us need a big butt. Right in the middle of all hell broke loose this week. But God gave me an idea. God gave me a thought. I reached back and laid hold of. A few years ago, we had someone from Eagle Mountain Church come into Austin, and they were unable to find work in that area up there, and there was a temporary job position here in Austin. And they took it and they came and met with me, and they said, the car is behind, the house is behind, and I'm down here filling in a temporary position because we've got to have some cash. I need to hear from God. And we just started talking. I said, what have you got in your house that you have never taken advantage of? And they were like, nothing. And I said, no, think for a minute. Is there something that you've never done anything with? And they thought and they thought and they said, well, in my high school annual, I've got a couple of stocks that I was given when I graduated, and I've never done anything with it. Other than that, I can't think of anything. I said, well, then that's the thought God's given you. Take those and go to a broker and see what they're worth. Well, they were just junk stocks. They went to a broker, and there was enough to take care of the car, the house, catch up all their bills, and give them an abundance. And it had been laying in their annual for nearly 22 years. They had a blessing and had never, because when they got it, it was just cheap stock, not worth anything really. But 22 years later, those companies had grown and prospered and developed. You've got something in your possession right now that will work for your good. We don't always know what it is, but we can say, God, show me what I've got that will be the beginning of my abundance. All God needs is a little something to work with. And one thing we know is, God doesn't answer our prayer when we pray. Before you ask, I will answer. It's already been answered before you got started. Now, the men of valor are putting notes in your hand. The title today is Learning the Walk That Wins. We will be touching on some familiar highlights as we go through this. But we're going back to what God told me in 1978. Teach my people faith. He didn't say teach my people about faith. He didn't say teach my people what faith is. He said teach my people faith. Because until faith becomes a walk, we walk by faith, not by sight. When it becomes a walk, you'll follow its steps. Because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God has already laid out a plan for you to walk in. Now, you may just have discovered it, but God had it laid out a long time before you got there. The problem is that many people live their entire life waiting for something to happen rather than becoming the catalyst of what's happening. Say this with me. I am the fuse of my own dynamite. And I'm igniting myself to explode with abundance and experience God's power. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What is the power of God's might? It's His word. Thy word, O Lord, is forever established in the heavens. It's up to me to establish it in my life so that I correspond with what's already established in heaven. God never made a failure. God never leads you in failure. He may lead you through a failure. He may lead you through a valley of separation or even a valley of the shadow of death. But the operative word is through. There's a song the Imperials used to sing, Praise the Lord. And there's a line in it that blesses me immensely. The trials only come to make you strong. We say it another way, use it or lose it. If you don't exercise, your muscles atrophy. If you are not putting pressure on your life doesn't rise any higher than limp. What's the difference between a fit person and a feeble person? The weight they've been pushing away to make them stronger. If you go to the gym and lay down under the barbells, they'll eventually crush you. But if you keep pushing them away, You'll have more ability and strength to push them away, and pretty soon you're going, add another 20 pounds. Why? Because development is continual. You don't start out working with a 10-pound dumbbell and stay there the rest of your life. You go to 15, 20. Pretty soon, you're pumping 45s. When you get to pumping 45s, you can level off for a while because your muscles have reached a toning spot of development that you don't have to go further than that. I don't have to work up to a 1,000-pound dumbbell. I work up to a point where that I am toned and fit. It's the same in your faith life. You conquer little demons. You conquer little problems. You conquer little shortages. And you get up to a point where you can live by faith. Now I don't have to keep progressing beyond that, because if I live by faith, all of my needs are met. I am not on a lifelong search for faith. I found it. Once I found it, I learned to trust God. And I pushed away debt. I pushed away disease. I pushed away death. I pushed away fear and doubt and unbelief. Pastor, are you telling me you never have fear, doubt, or unbelief in your life? Oh, it knocks occasionally. I just choose not to answer the door. Most people know to call me on my cell phone. When my house phone rings, we have a phone machine on. Because about, 60-80% of the calls are somebody wanting donations to this party or that party or this candidate or that candidate. I couldn't believe it. I got a letter a few months back from Melania Trump asking me to send Donald an offering for his birthday. I looked at my checkbook and I looked at his estimated checkbook and I went, something ain't right here. So I threw it away. I didn't send him a birthday offering because any chump change when a person is a multi-billionaire, you got to write a check to get anything out of them. Now, you got a beggar on the street, they'll take a dollar. Try and give a billionaire a dollar. Pastor, what has all this got to do with anything? Do you have a billionaire attitude? Or are you still looking for chump change? I can't imagine standing on a street corner with a sign that says 25 cents helps. I don't want 25 cents, I want 25 bucks. I mean, 25 cents, 25 bucks, I can get lunch. 25 cents, I can get a headache. Worrying about where the rest of it's coming from. Pastor, what are you saying? A lot of us are standing in God's welfare line with a sign that says, anything helps. No, I don't want anything. I want something. I want the best God has. I want to live in His goodness. Amen. I trust it's okay with you, but a precious person that I've prayed with them in their home, I've talked to them, I've visited with them, their house was completely wiped out by the hurricane. And so I knew y'all wouldn't mind. We're sending them $1,000 to help them get started. That's just a starting point. We can't send them the thousands and thousands of dollars it'll take to replace it. But when you all of a sudden have your house flattened and you have nothing, and you you contact your son and their house was flattened too, and you can't even go over to your kid's place to hang out. And by the way, in that today is Grandparents Day, I do turn 71 this year. I'm a grandparent, so if you need to adopt somebody to celebrate the day with, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The power of His might is it is written. Because that cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It cannot be taken back. It stands eternal. His word will change my world. It has. I was just another religious person going to a nice little Pentecostal church and praising the Lord. And I discovered faith. And about half the church turned on me. But once I got a hold of it, I pursued it with all my heart. And Lou and I would finish work and we'd jump in the car and drive to Waco because somebody was preaching faith up there. We'd jump in the car and drive to Houston because somebody was preaching faith. And anytime there was a faith meeting, anywhere around, I was there. I wanted to learn, if I got this much with what I know already, how much more can I get by knowing more about this thing called faith? I want to learn to walk by it, not just use it to get a need met. Make the determination today. I don't want enough faith to get my need met. I want enough faith to progress from glory to glory, from faith to faith. I want to eat at the big kids' table. Put on the full armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. I would like to say something here. If you've been lied to by one of these pontificators of stupidity that told you, get up every day. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. I'm putting on the breastplate. No. Once you put it on, it's for life. I don't get up and put it on every day because I don't take it off at night. What if hell breaks loose in the middle of the night and I'm unclothed? Once you begin to think about it, it's just downright stupid to every day put on the armor of God. No, I live in it because it's not a suit I wear, it's a condition I've reached. It's not a suit I wear, it's a condition I've reached. Because if it's still a suit I wear, then I'm not there yet. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. God is saying you live in a hostile environment. In that hostile environment, you've got to have a heaven suit. When our astronauts are going into space, they put on a suit to protect them from the elements and to give them inside that suit an artificial atmosphere that is not affected by the one that they're going to be exposed to. That's what God is saying here. Get on the armor of God because you live in an environment that is contrary to you and your heavenly abode. But if you're properly clothed, it can't affect you. So I don't do this just to get the month rent paid or just to make the car payment. I do this because if I can learn it as a walk, as a way of life, as a place I live, then it protects me from the crises of life. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Pastor Jim, what is the evil day? That's when all hell breaks loose in your life. Your evil day might be Judas' day of celebration. You can't gauge your day by other people. And every believer has a day when problems, tests, and trials come to judge them. If you're properly clothed, you're impervious to their attack. Having done everything to stand. He didn't say, this is what you do to get back on your feet. This is what you do to not be affected by what's trying to affect you. Lou used to say, I refuse to be concerned about that which tries to concern me. It's an attitude that you develop by faith in God. There ain't enough hell out there to overpower me. There aren't enough demons to hold me captive. There's not enough work of the enemy to retard my growth in God. I have learned to walk by faith, and I will not stumble under the pressure of life's trials again. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. What does it mean to gird your loins with truth? In that day and time, they wore a sash around their robes. When it was time to work, they would undo the sash, drop it down, pull it up between their legs, and tie it off so now their robe was not in their way and they could run the race or they could do the work because they had girded their loins to keep their own clothes from interfering with their labors. When I gird myself with truth, I am covering myself so the lies can't get to me. If you're working in a job with heavy lifting or you're working in a gym, you reach and you grab a weight belt and you put that on and it strengthens your back and it holds your guts in so you don't get a hernia trying to lift those weights. I have girded myself with truth so that it's protecting my guts from exposure to too much of the devil's activity. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I've said it before, I'll be redundant and say it again. That's not talking about smoking, drinking, chewing, and all of that other stuff. It's talking about not knowing how to stand when a problem comes. I've hidden your word in my heart so that when there's a problem, I don't fall apart. I don't go to pieces. I go to the word and go, no, it is written. Now get thee behind me, Satan. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Pastor, what does that mean? My heart is covered with the fact I'm righteous, so the devil can't give me a heavy heart and remind me of failures that have occurred in my life. I'm righteous by decree, not by performance. Anybody who thinks they're righteous by their righteous living is deceiving themselves. You can't live righteous in your ability. So God says, watch this. You're righteous because you're mine. Oh, all right. Now the God of the universe has judged me righteous. Who has the power to come against his judgment? Yeah, but Brother Jim, I remember when you... I don't. Daddy don't. And you don't matter. Because your name is bad news, and I don't need you. I got good news. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not by performance, not by strict living and adhering to a code of conduct, but by simply accepting His sacrifice as mine. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? I'm not walking on the trials of life. I'm walking on the promises of God. Between me and the world's environment is a cushion of God said. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? The word. This word will quench every lie of Satan. You're sick. No, with his stripes I was healed. You're broke. No, my God supplies all of my need according to the living center of heaven. You're a failure. No, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're helpless. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. This is the shield that you stand behind, because it will extinguish every fiery dart with the truth. God did not intend us to carry this. He intended us to carry this, to have it internally within us. And take the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? The devil can come against my mind with all thoughts of inadequacy, inability, or failure. But the helmet of salvation says it's covered, it's cleansed, it's forgiven, it's beneath you. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how I defeat the enemy. It is written. And that sword cuts both ways. Pastor, what does it mean to cut both ways? It cuts the lie and it releases the truth. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. I want you to note this verse. There are 22 things in your Bible called prayer. Pastor, what do you mean? There's the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of supplication, the prayer of dedication, the prayer of intercession. There are lots of things called prayer. Most people think prayer is, oh, God, help. That's not prayer. He said, make your petition known. Pastor, what is a petition? Anyone who's ever studied the law knows what a petition. We're going to petition the court. Your Honor, based upon Texas law, Section 8, Part 3B, the state law says, and now you're petitioning the court. You've got to learn how to pray that way. God, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, Father of the universe, based upon your word that says, with his stripes I was made whole. I approach you this day, and I petition the court for the fullness of my healed nature. No, we start slinging snot and crying, oh God, forgive me, I screwed up. He always hears his word. He does not always hear your emotion. Because he is one with his word, he can't be two and three and four with your opinion or need. If your prayer is not based on it as written, you're not really praying. And once you learn the difference between just praying, God, I thank you, that based on Peter 2:24, with the stripes I was healed, and petitioning, Father, this sickness has laid hold against me, but your word stipulates that with his stripes I was healed. And based upon that word, I make my appeal to you to manifest that word's fullness in my life. Now you've gone from regular prayer to petition. With all prayer and with all petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. I don't let the need guide my prayer. I let the Spirit of truth guide my prayer. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Father God, I lift the body of Christ, the house of the Lord, before you. Your word says we're the chosen of the Lord. Therefore, I praise you that based upon your word, no lie of Satan can attack our body. The prayer and power of God's might is released through faith's operation. It is written has got to be the basis for your prayer, the strength of your prayer, and the reason you're praying. I don't want to be healed because I'm tired of being sick. I want to be healed to prove the truth of God's promises. I don't want God to bless me because I can't take being broke anymore. I want to live a life that exemplifies to others that my God supplies all my need. The Yeshua of God authored our faith in his conquest over sin and darkness. I have faith because he had faith in me before I was ever born. He went to the cross believing I would receive his gift, accept his lordship, and come under his covering. That's a beautiful thought. Before there was a me, he made a place for me in the family tree. The new covenant shows us two kinds of faith. A lot of people operate in the Thomas kind, which demands physical evidence. Daddy God, I'll quit praying for you to heal me when I feel better. You're in a heap of trouble because you're still letting your health be in question. You got to get to the point where your health is settled. I am the healed of the Lord. I don't care what I feel like, what I look like. When I could barely get a word out of my mouth, I would tell people, I am healed. Why? His word said I was healed, and his word will carry me through hell if I let it. If you need proof of something to satisfy your senses, you're in sensible faith. Well, I know my prayer is answered when my bills are paid. I'll know my prayer is answered when the phone rings. I'll know my prayer is answered when, no. Your prayer is answered because he said he always hears you when you base your prayer upon his word. Sense, knowledge, faith. You can find the story of Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29, where Thomas said to the other disciples, I ain't believing until these eyes see it, until these hands touch it. I am sense of a faith person. Y'all may believe it because you got the good report. I've got to touch the report. I've got to feel the report. I've got to walk around the report. I got to hold the report or I ain't believing. And a lot of us go, Doubting Thomas. How many times in our life are we still praying for something God said is already done? Oh, God, would you heal me? God can't answer that prayer. God is never going to heal another person on the face of the earth. You will receive the healing that belongs to you, or you'll do without. But Brother Jim, I've just been hoping and praying. Well, that's the problem. You don't know the difference between hope and prayer. But in verse 27, the Lord appears in a room where they're at, and he says to Thomas, reach your finger over here and stick it in my hand. You see, Jesus raised from the dead, but there's still holes in his hand. To ever remind us, the price is paid. He said, now, poke your hand in my side here. The wound is still open. It didn't seal over. It'll be open for eternity. Why? To ever remind us. The price wasn't just paid. It's eternally paying. And do not be unbelieving, but be believing. God wants you to believe in what he did without evidence. Well, Pastor Jim, that's hard. No, all you got to do is overcome your senses. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Pastor, what's taking place here? Messiah shows us the separation of sense-level faith and word-based faith. These guys got the word that I was healed. Yes, a couple of them got a witness. But most of them believed because the word came to him, he is risen. But Thomas, you're hanging out with the 11 and you're going, not me. You're going to have to show me. Church, God is not in the show me business. God is in the believe me business. And if you believe me, you'll see. If you don't believe me, I'm not going to come down to your doubt and unbelief and try and convince you of the truth that I am. You either accept the truth or you reject the truth. There's no in-between territory. Then he says, blessed are they who did not see. They grab it by the word. They grab it by the good report. And yet they believed, not having touched, felt, smelt. They just got the word and they said, the word is good for me. Can you settle the issues of your life with a promise from your new covenant? Or are you going to have to see your bail marked paid? You're going to have to see a doctor's report that says it's gone. If you have to have the world confirm what you believe, you don't believe God. Godly faith was first seen in Abraham. Miraculous to be called word-based faith. God, you said it, therefore I'll leave my country. You said it, therefore I'll begin to make a place for it. You said it, my life is changing to align with what you said. Abraham was childless. In that day, a woman not having a baby was a public shame. Abraham wasn't putting Sarah away because she couldn't produce. And at 100, he got that old feeling. And they had a child. Can you imagine the miracle God had to work in Abraham? And the work he had to do in Sarah? You're 50 years old and the doctor goes, I'm sorry to tell you you're pregnant. And it's bad news to you. Because I'll be dead before they get to college. No. Even at 90, if God said, your wrinkles don't matter, Romans chapter 4, on the contrary, who are you, old man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the potter who molded it, why did you make me this way? No matter what hell breaks in your life, you don't question God. You go, God, if you allowed this problem to come, you've already made a way of escape. Because my new covenant says, you'll not allow it to come upon me, but what you've already made a way of escape. What does that mean? There's already a promise that covers it before hell knocks on your door. True faith depends on the word alone. True faith depends on the word alone. I've got my problem, and I've got God said. I choose to throw away the problem and hold on to God said. Prayer based upon the word of truth alone rises above the senses and contacts the author of the word. God said, I'm the potter. I've made the earth and the fullness thereof. You can trust me to make up any deficit that's in your life. Say this with me. It came to pass.
It came to pass.
What does that mean? This problem came into my life to pass from my life, that I would become stronger in my relationship with God because it was conquered. It was defeated. It was triumphed over. Do you see problems as opportunities, or do you see them as your downfall? Wonder there was a time when I thought every problem that come was my fault. Derek, I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but I used to think if anything came up, I'd done something wrong. Then one day I really began to read my new covenant, and I found out that God is giving me the opportunity to prove his word, and it's not what I've done wrong that matters. It's what am I going to do right now that it's here? In the world, all hell's going to break loose. But, big but, be of good courage. I've already overcome the world for you. Become one with the passage that says you've already won this battle. Brother Jim, I'm fighting the good fight of faith, and it's so hard, then you're doing it wrong. If you're finding a struggle in faith, you don't understand faith yet. Faith says it's already done. It's already fixed. It's already triumphed over. I don't have to make it work. I don't have to believe God for it to work. I have to believe that it has already worked. And it just showed up so I could demonstrate that it's already defeated. His word in your mouth equals your victory. Whether in acts of faith or in prayer, the new covenant must become the foundation you build on. I'm stepping out by faith. I'm praying by faith. I'm praising by faith. I'm receiving by faith. Pastor Jim, faith in what? God said. Your trust plus His word equals your victory. To learn the walk that wins is simple. I'm walking out what He said is already true. I'm not believing it can be true. I'm not praying that it will be true. I'm acting like it is finished. When our Lord said on the cross, "It is finished," do you realize that it only just begun? He had not yet accepted death. He had not yet entered hell. He had not yet gone through 3 days of torture and torment, so steep that the psalmist prophesied, "The bulls of Bashan gnash upon him with teeth." They're trying to rip him apart. And on the third day, God said, "Again, thou shalt be unto me a son." What does that mean? For 3 days, he wasn't a son. He was a sacrifice. But because he did it in faith, and before he yielded up the spirit, he said, "It's finished." Looking at that, you'd go, "Oh no, it's just starting." But can you tell the temptations, trials, and burdens of your life, you're finished? But Pastor, it could get worse. It probably will. But if you approach it going, "No, I've already won. I'm coming out the other side." Some of you stood with me and prayed with me in the hospital. And like Brother Brad said one day in a message here, he said, "I walked into his room and he could barely lift his hand, but he said to me, 'Help me celebrate the victory.'" Now, if you're looking at me barely able to lift my hand, barely able to speak the words, and I'm saying, "Help me celebrate the victory," you go, "Where are the guys in the white coats when you need them?" But if you understand our Lord giving us an example of faith, that on the cross, before he yielded up the Spirit, before the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, before he was seated at the right hand of God, he said, "It's finished. Because I'm going through it." But "through" is the operative word. So in my opinion, it's already settled before it starts. In your life, is sickness settled? Is disease settled? Is poverty settled? Is fear settled? Is hopelessness settled? Do you recognize that when all hell breaks loose in your life, God has already looked at you and said, They can handle it. They've got what it takes, or he wouldn't allow it to come. But Pastor, I can't stand up and do this any longer. God thinks you can. How come you don't think the way God thinks? Brother John, when we really learn the faith walk, we approach every problem from it is finished. Because every problem you'll experience in life is already covered by a promise of God. So Judith, you can face the devil himself going, ain't no thing. It's finished. But Pastor, it's just starting. Yeah, but if I tell it what it's doing before it gets started, it has to obey. I'm saved by the faith of Jesus that said going into hell, it's finished, not when it was over. The faith of Jesus approaches every challenge in your life with, this is already done. This is already answered. I don't spend 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying for an answer. Why would I do that when all I got to do is turn in the book and my answer is already written down in eternal, unchangeable promises? What is the walk of faith? It's walking as one with God promised, therefore everything else has to change. I say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. And people don't understand. What I'm saying is, poverty is finished in my life. So I'll never be broke another day in my life. I discovered that he supplies all of my need. Well, Pastor Jim, where is it coming from? I have no idea. But I know it's coming. But Pastor, it seems like your blessing is on a slow train. It don't matter, slow trains get there. Not everybody has a silver streak in their life. Some of us have an old steam locomotive that just keeps chugging. But what difference does it make if you get there? The just shall live by faith because it is the walk that wins. But it doesn't win after the victory. It wins before the battle. Oh, church, I can't drive that strong enough to you. I didn't begin giving my testimony that I was healed after I walked out of the hospital. I began giving it ahead of time so I could boldly tell the doctors what day I would walk out of the hospital. And they told me, no way. And I said, you don't understand. I've got a witness. I'm walking out on this day, May the 2nd, 2008, I'm walking out that door. But you can't walk. Hide and watch. Walking is coming. I will not be flat on my back forever. Why? I've already embraced my answer. I am the heel of the Lord. Now my body is still catching up with my confession. But my God doesn't do anything halfway, partway. God is not in the feeling better. I get upset sometimes in a prayer line when somebody goes, are you feeling better? Did you take the anointing when hands were laid on you or not? If you did, the symptoms will have to leave. But if we're waiting for the symptoms to leave, to go, praise God, We're in the wrong business. Do you see yourself with your new car, with your new house, with your new job, with your new security in life? Or are you still praying that something is going to change somehow? God will make a way. My God already made a way where there seems to be no way. I just have to take the way, the truth, and the life and walk in it. Are we getting anything today? Now, when I started these notes, I already see part two and part three. And I really had to deal with myself to cut it off with this little short sample I gave you today. But if the Lord will allow, next week we'll be back with part B of this message. And if he's really patient, we may come back with part C. But I've got enough notes already for three sermons. You're just blessed that I didn't try and bring them all today. This is not a simple message, but it is a simple truth. But it gets very complex when you start laying hold of it, because you've got to reject everything that doesn't look like this promise for this promise to come to pass in your life. Pastor, you look broke. No. I have abundance I haven't even thought about yet. Because my God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. That means lavishly. Because heaven is not on getting by. It's on getting over. Father, we've invested your word in your people. That word has gone into their hearts and will not, cannot be stolen from them. From this moment forward, this people is eternally changed by your truth and the utter dependability of your promises. Father, I thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You lead us continually in triumph. The triumph you accomplished when you said it is finished before your trial began. We're learning to finish the issues of our life before we see the answer. And know that the answer cannot delay, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. In every situation and trial of life, this people wins. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Wealthy of mind, of spirit, of body, of finance. And nothing shall be impossible for them because they believe. And the people said,
amen.
Love on somebody. Get the heck out of here. Ministers will be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock in pastor's office. You're loved. Go with God.